Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When my husband Bob asked me if it would be okay to look at being a firefighter and a first responder, I said, sure. It's a little community. What could possibly go wrong in a small community like this? I had forgotten one key thing when I so freely told him that it was okay to train for these works, and that is crises never come on my timetable. They come at the most inopportune times. So I have been left at a restaurant stranded because the call came and Bob jumped up and went out and drove away, and I had to call someone to rescue me. We've been in the middle of supper and the call comes and Bob runs off. Sometimes in the middle of cooking. Now this is very inconvenient for me because I'm not the cook. So as Bob's shouting directions as he runs out, I'm stuck with that work. And then there's the middle of the night calls. For some reason, people get sick in the middle of the night. And so he has a buzzer next to his bed and he jumps up. He has all his clothes laid out. And if once he goes down the steps, on the banister is his jacket, not in the closet, it has to be on the banister. And then on the table right by the door are his keys, so he can grab that and run out the door. I timed it once in my head, and between the time he got the call until he was fully dressed and out of the house was probably a minute and a half. Now, beyond the crises, beyond the calls, are the training sessions. Now, I would think in a little place like this that you wouldn't need much training, but every single week he's in training for something. One week it was rope training, because tourists have a tendency to fall off cliffs. So when people come down after them, they have to know how to get a hold of these poor folks without killing themselves, so they have rope training. They have water training, and so they figure out how to pilot a boat safely and how to get people out of the water safely. They, of course, have fire training. One time I saw a video of the propane tank explosion that they used, and it was not simulated. It was real fire coming out, and all the firefighters lining up to figure out how to do this safely. There's so much training involved. This last piece of training was, it was called FIT, to fit a mask over one's face. Thought that's a simple thing, except that Bob had to shave his beard in order to do that, in order for the mask to fit. So I asked him the question, if when you're training you have to shave your beard, but there are times in emergencies when you won't be shaving your beard. What do? He said they have razors in the truck and you have to dry shave your beard as you go. Can you imagine? That's preparation. That's being alert at all times. And I thought of that when I was reading the Mark passage about being awake and being alert. That there are times that we must be awake and alert. And the Bible tells us that there will be a time that God breaks into history. No one knows when it's going to be, but there will be a time that the end will come and God will restore this planet to Eden. And when that time comes, he says, we need to be alert and awake at all times. Now, even if that time does not come in our lifetime, there will be a day when the trumpet will sound for each of us. And we will come home. And we need to be alert and aware and awake and ready for that time. Now, that doesn't mean that we look over our shoulder and wonder what's coming today. What it means is that we will be working at all times to promote Jesus in this lifetime. It means that all the grace that we have today, we need to give to others. It means that we need to be alert for the opportunities to shower people with God's grace and hope while we have breath in our bodies. Be alert, be awake at all times. Young parents understand this all too well. Any of you who've had babies know what I'm talking about. The first few months, you think you're the walking dead. You wonder if you'll ever get a full night's sleep again as long as you live. But the moment that baby cries, you're up and you're tending to that child. You're awake, you're alert. Because someone needs you. It's the same principle in the Christian life. We must constantly be alert for those opportunities to bring faith and hope and peace into this world, into the people that surround us. Now, I'll give you an example. This is something when they say, don't do this, don't try this at home. In June, I went to Synod, and I swear to you that Synod is an opportunity to lose one's faith. Every synod, I lose my religion. And I come back home and I try to regain it, and it takes me a while. And no synod has ever disappointed me. I've always lost my religion. And this synod was no different. I was in a committee with a lady that I really didn't like. First time I had ever seen her, she was presenting a report to a group of people, and she was very down and negative, and everything that came out of her mouth, I just wanted to slap her. So I noticed that I was going to be on a committee with this woman. And I thought, well, that's, you know, sometimes when people are in public and they're not used to public speaking, they might not come across the way they really are. Well, she was really that way. And in committee, up close and personal, I didn't like her. She was down and negative, and everything that came out of her mouth, I wanted to slap her. I noticed when we got back into session that she was standing up and bending over and looked like she was in a great deal of pain. So I went over to her to inquire about her health. See, I'm alert. And she said to me that her back was killing her because of the chairs. Now, I know about back pain. So what did I say to her? Well, you know, that's why I bring a cushion, so that I don't have that problem. I said that. And then I went smugly and sat down. And I think the Almighty was shaking his head. What a slug. That might have been observant, that wasn't alert. Fortunately, later on, I got a spiritual kick, went over there and said, can I give you a cushion so that your back won't be in so much pain? We have so many opportunities to be alert. We have so many opportunities to stay awake and see what good we can do while we have breath in our bodies. I was listening to a sermon once about this particular passage, and the pastor was laying a guilt trip on his people. And he was talking about evangelism and that we have to tell people the good news before it's too late for them. And at the end of it, he said, if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would you do today? And I know the kind of response he wanted was, I'm going to get out there and work. And I thought about it. What would I do if I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming tomorrow? I'd throw a party. I would throw a welcome back Jesus party, and I'd invite everybody to come to party and to welcome him back. And perhaps that is the way we as the church need to be. We need to be welcome back Jesus people. People that whenever Jesus comes, whether it's at midnight, whether it's 3 a.m, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever Jesus comes for us, we can say, welcome back. I have treated your kingdom with joy. I have given hope to people. I've spoken peace. I've been a healer. I've been a person who loves people and wants to embrace them. I want to be a welcome back Jesus kind of person. How about you this week? How can we be welcome back Jesus people? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that you lavish on us every day. I thank you for the peace, especially when we're going through dark times. And I ask, O Lord, that you keep us awake to the opportunities around us, so we can be welcome back Jesus people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.